picture this. You're scrolling through your feed and suddenly, bam, you land on an incredible live stream and someone's sharing secrets about nurturing that stunning plant you've been eyeing. You're instantly hooked, asking questions, laughing, and joining vibrant conversations with passionate plant lovers from all over the world.
These live streams aren't just about selling plants. They're hangouts, educational classes, and exciting community events. And while you're waiting for your next favorite seller or educator to go live, join chat channels similar to Discord, where the fun never stops and plant friendships flourish.
Feeling inspired, you decide it's time to buy your dream plant. Here's the best part. It's not just a transaction. You're connecting directly with amazing sellers and becoming part of a genuinely engaged community. Need any tips? Have any questions? Want to celebrate your plant's first ever bloom? Overgrown Oasis community is always eager to support, guide, and cheer you on.
Overgrown Oasis is more than just a platform. It's your new plant-loving adventure and community home. So dive into the excitement, connect deeply, and watch your plant dreams bloom alongside friends. You can find Overgrown Oasis by visiting overgrownoasis.com.
Your ultimate plant-loving community awaits.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Hello.
What was it? Hola, everybody.
What is this thing wanting to steal them? What do I? Oh, I say annyeong, everybody.
No, that is not what you say. You say hi, everyone. Hi, welcome everybody. Back. Welcome back.
Hi, welcome. Everybody. Annyeong. Welcome. Welcome to Let's Talk Hoya
podcast. Waving it like the audience is. Hello, audience. Welcome to Let's Talk Hoya. Recording live in studio today.
Thank you, everyone.
And the crowd goes mild.
I feel bad for the people who just like wake up Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. and we're like, oh, a new Let's Talk Hoy episode. And then they start it to this like energy on a bright early morning.
You should know this is Lydia no matter what the hour of the day is, okay, but especially energy, in the morning.
But I'm talking about all of us because I feel like when we record this, we get a little punch drunk. It's like evening, we're hanging out with our friends, having a little gab, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I always go.
That's going to be disparaging towards you, so I'm so sorry. The first trip we went on, I picked Jessie up at her house and she tried to get me killed. But
just a little bit.
And then when we were on our way to Jesse or to Lydia's, we were like pulling into your subdivision out in Buckeye. And and Jesse was already like, she's going to be so hyped or hyperactive. She's like, just prepare yourself. And like, she was like giving herself a pep talk the whole drive about how giddy you were going to be. Excited and
giddy. Yeah. No, literally. Anytime. Good morning. And I'm like, no, and there's no reason to be this chirpy in the morning.
I've always been like that about trips, though. Ever since I was a little kid, I could not fall asleep. I would get no sleep, and then I would just be super excited in the morning.
And you probably wake up earlier and like get rid of your last minute things done.
Yeah.
So me, no, I'm like
no last minute things. You know, everything's been packed for 3 days.
I'm about to say, yeah, there's no last minute with Lydia. No, I am not like a cheerful, chirpy morning person. I'm also not like, don't nobody talk to me. I'm just like neutral, like let's ease into the day.
Yeah.
And Lydia's like,
yeah, I'm pretty 100% for
season. Yeah.
I'm pretty level 10. Oh, that's funny.
We love that. Yeah, we do.
So good morning if you're listening to this. Okay, well, I was going to say, when I used to have a commute, my commute would literally be at like 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And on Wednesday, and usually the in-office day I would go in would be on Wednesday. So it would be the day the episode would release. And I really enjoyed hearing our voices. And it was always a great way to start the morning, I just have to say.
Best part of waking up
is LTH in your ears.
What's a rhyme for up that could deal with ears?
or
beers? No, he said up.
What's a rhyme for up? Oh. That could deal with your ears.
Beers?
Put your phone down.
I'm so sorry.
Beers? Wrong time to act like you're paying attention.
Mother.
You just farm your wheat on your farm? No. Make some pale ale.
I'm on my phone. It's not even my tabby. Okay, so anyway, our last episode, we started our little mini series.
Yes, it's our mini series. And the first one was Lydia. No, I'm sorry.
I think it's because I'm talking so much all day. I can't even like form words anymore. Holy. Okay. So last week. Well, no, last week first. Last episode, we started our little mini series about our stories and how like we came to plans and just a little bit more about us. And, you know, like we were saying, if you're on Patreon, like you hear a lot more about us, but I just thought it would be fun for our listeners to get to know us a little bit more because we've been doing this for 3 years now. And just like talking to guests and things like that, like you just realize everybody has a story and it's kind of nice to kind of hear, you know, where we have come so far on our journey. So I did a little chit chat last week. Thank you everybody for listening. If you listened, if not, that's okay. But today, we are going to have Adam share with us.
Well, lucky for you, I'm going to be completely flying off the cuff. So,
well, it's your life, very
casual. Yeah. But yeah, plants weren't something that I grew up with ever. I mean, I do remember being young and seeing like bushes outside. My mom loved peonies. So we always had like a peony bush where we existed.
And then you did the corn work.
Yeah.
That is plants. That is plants.
You know, you're right. I was a farmer. Corn work. I love that you just said it like that.
Isn't
you're
it corn?
You're from Nebraska. You did that corn work. We detasseled, yeah. So we pulled the tassels off.
I was going to say de-husking. I wasn't sure. So I was like, it's corn.
I also never knew that was called tasseling until you.
Yeah.
I actually didn't even know I had a name.
I didn't know there was a job.
I didn't know you had to do it. I just thought the corn showed up anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, like, so husking would be taking the husk off the corn, which is everyone does when they buy. But like the tassel was like basically making the plant sterile. And I honestly think we had to do it. I don't really know now, but I think like thinking back to like big seed and all of that in agriculture.
Big farm.
Big farm. I think that we were doing that because like, do you, like with soybeans, like Monsanto stops farmers from having like this passed down generational seed. They can only use it 1 year, even though it reseeds or whatever. I don't, you know.
You're not allowed to have heirloom
seeds. That is crazy. So how do they even manage that?
They send, did you never see Food Inc. on Netflix back in like 2010?
No.
They send people out to these farmers and like make sure that they're not keeping the seed, that they're destroying them. Like they're not keeping any further seeds because it's their genetic, like it's their.
But like, how do they know if I have it under my bed?
Yeah. Well, they don't, but.
But it's a whole thing.
Not that I ever would, you know,
like, like food, like crop farmers, chicken farmers, cow farmers. A lot of the time they're even like just leasing the land from.
Yeah.
Big farm, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of gross. But again, I'm not fully educated in all of this. I'm just saying some of the things I know, so don't come at me. But yeah,
I did recently hear the president of Mexico talk about how the corn in Mexico is like some of the most it's like a single strain, and like they don't allow like hybridizing the corn. Mm-hmm. So like we have some of the most pure corn out there because so many other countries allow like hybridizing and like mutating corn.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
yeah,
because they tried
to shoot that out.
they try to breed out, like, they make, like, they look for the cultivar that's like the most pest resistant, mm-hmm. that grow the biggest, the fastest, the juiciest, you know.
Just like, I guess, anything, but if they do genetically modify them, which is just weird. But so now I'm thinking that the tasseling was probably to prevent cross hybridization, because it was specifically so you, the pollen didn't go over to a field next to it, you wow. know. So very big control. Big picture. But yeah, so I did corn work when I was growing up for a couple weeks in the summer. One summer I earned myself
spending time with the cornflowers,
enough money to buy a bicycle and a jukebox.
Wow.
With a tape deck and CD player so that I could
can you explain to the kids what a jukebox
they
is?
Can Google it.
A radio, yeah. A radio.
I was trying to make him feel old,
but it was a big one. It was like 2 feet wide and like a foot tall, and it had two big speakers on either side and like the hand, it was like, yeah. But so I did detasseled, but other than that, plants weren't like in our house. I don't remember plants being in, or even fake plants. Like, I just don't think it was a thing, but my mom loved peonies. So I do remember being a little obsessed with peony bushes just because I was like, wait, ants have to eat this outer layer so this flower can bloom.
Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah. Well, Americanized peonies that have like the big fluffy, mm-hmm. they've genetically modified them to have all of those petals, but they like can't burst through. And so basically ants have to like eat the outer casing and then it opens them.
Crazy.
But then I thought that was so cool because, you know, I would bring peonies for my mom and they would have ants in them. And I was like, why does this have ants on it? And then she told me, but that was my plant journey. I never got plants. I don't even know if I ever, I definitely probably had a succulent from like a big box store after that, but I don't recall. Like, nothing stands out to me until Chicago 2018, I think it was, maybe 2017. I went to this shop called Sprout Home in Chicago when I was visiting just for a weekend and bought a Maranta, a red band Maranta. Is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
And because it was gorgeous, and they are. We all know that when we see a Maranta or a whatever, we're just like,
I legit almost bought one.
Yeah. Mine's not doing well. It had flat mite on it. Like, I scoped it and it had flat mites on it. And I was just been scrubbing it. So.
Oh, I didn't know that I could get flat mites like that. I feel like philodendrons don't get flat mites.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think they can go on things, but it just depends on if they can
attract them as much.
So it was being negatively affected by the flat mites?
Well, yes and no. And then I, you know, did my spray down and scrub with a brush. And I think they're just a little too sensitive for that. So a lot of the leaves were like, nope, we're done.
Goodbye.
I'm out.
Yeah, you scratched me.
I'm a no, head thank out.
You. Ow.
So at Sprout, which was like a beautiful plant store, like that was the first time I realized, like, oh, wait. Because I had been in nurseries. I had been in like flower shops. I bought live Christmas trees. Like, I had been in these places that sold houseplants before, but never in my life was I like, oh, I should get a plant. But then I went to the Sprout. It was gorgeous. It was a whole vibe. This plant shop, unbeknownst to me, was like what began the lore of like my plant journey and also like my Instagram now, currently Not Dude. So I bought that Maranta, and I also bought this like really cheaply made but expensive jute plant hanger, you know, just like an overhand knot. Mm. Now that I'm like Not Dude,
I've seen those. I'm literally like, they just tie a knot onto like three sections and that's it. There's no like macrame to it.
No, it's like literally they just put the two things together and tie a knot, and they put them over here and tie a knot. So literally the most simple thing. So when I got home, I hung the plant up, and then I just like laid on the couch and I was staring at that plant hanger. And this is how my brain always is. Like, I'm like, figure out how you can do that, because that was $30 and that's ridiculous that you spent that much money on that. Is
actually especially back in 1990 whatever. I'm just kidding. Especially back in 2019.
Back where the juke was
back when you
created.
Had to submit your mail order form. But so I was mad about that. And I was like, oh, let me figure this out. And then that became the obsession of like macrame. So I was like, oh, I can do wall hangings. And I was doing plant hangers. And I was buying all these cords from these places. And, you know, as we do when we get into hobbies. And then I was making all these things. And I was like, well, I need to fill them up. So then plants just became a thing. Like I started an Instagram to do macrame. Like I did macrame jewelry, but it was just like showing things that I created, not because I wanted to do anything with it. And this is a trend in my life with hobbies. It's like I grab a hobby, I learn everything I can about it, and then I monetize it somehow, and then I absolutely hate it. And that pattern still exists to this day. But no, it's easy to recognize now. But anyway, I was doing the macrame, then I got into the plants, and then I started creating YouTube videos on plants because there were some people, like Harley G was out there creating, Nick Pileggi, which was Philly Foliage. Christian, crazy plant guy in Canada. Like there was a couple creators, but it wasn't like a huge YouTube market on plants. And I was like, well, wait, I know how to use a camera and I have some knowledge. So I started doing a YouTube video and it was an outlet for me because I was very much in a period of life where I was like not happy. I mean, I feel like that's a common denominator from us in this podcast, but I was just like coming to terms with my sexuality, with my authentic self, and all that was wrapped up in that with the life that I was leading and the life I was wanting to lead. So in the midst of all of that mind effery, I got into plants and it actually just helped me check out of that. Like I kind of started creating a community online and I was finding people that I could be authentic with because like they didn't know this person that I was. But at the same time, like weirdly keeping that hidden from people that did know me at that time, like it's like I wanted this space for me. And it's so hard to explain, but like I was like, oh, well, this is my safe space, like my Instagram was. And so like I don't want people to know about it because I want an outlet to like be who I am. But then when people started finding out, because then obviously like I like to talk about the things I do because I get really excited about things I create. Then people started following my real life. And then, yeah, it kind of just went down a road for a bit. And then I went through I've like finalized my divorce, moved to Arizona, brought all my plants here with me. And at that time, like my plant collection was like the big box plant collection. Mm-hmm. I remember I had my office in Illinois, like decorated with tons of plants. Like my cubicle was just foliage. My house was foliage.
There was one day where, cause you do the whole, like, what's the thing where they show you a throwback photo? You mm-hmm. do the whole, what is that called?
Time hop.
Yes. Time hop. Remember one day there was a time hop that came up and it was your office cubicle and you sent it to us.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, look, this is what my old office used to look like.
I kind of miss like having a cubicle a yeah. little bit where I could like, I mean, I have an office I can decorate, but anyway, I had a nice office window. Yeah. So plants very much became my new obsession, but it was, I mean, can we say it was healthy? There's much worse things you could be.
Could be drugs.
It could be drugs.
Escaping into. Yeah.
I watched the new, there's a Charlie Sheen documentary.
Oh, yeah. I've been wanting to watch it.
Yeah, it was very good, but he went hard on drugs. In my mind, I was like, you know, it could have been drugs.
Yeah, it could have been
drugs. Not to shame anybody on anything, but I feel like that is hard to come out of.
Yeah.
When you're addicted to something like that.
Yeah, something that can change the chemistry of your brain. So, yeah, I very much was like on my lunch breaks driving to Walmart to look at what new plants they had. I found some great gems. It was like that era of like everyone was just trying to like gather plants.
You're like going to all the stores that you possibly can because mm-hmm. there truly were not a lot of specialty stores. They were very few and far between. So then all the stops were like,
yeah,
the big box stores, you know,
they were. Yeah. I do remember wanting a Monstera pretty early on because like my, even my logo was a Monstera leaf, but I didn't have a Monstera. It was like a wish list plant for me.
You were and manifesting like, it.
I was. And you couldn't find them. You could not find them locally.
Yeah.
It was just so weird to think about now.
That was like my fiddly fig.
Yeah.
Was like a big deal. And if you saw a Monstera, a green form Monstera, that mm-hmm. used to be a huge deal.
And they grow so easy. So yeah. It's just, but you know, cyclical, I guess. But my ex and I had taken a trip to New York City in 2018. Yeah, in 2018, for my birthday, and I found a cutting of a monstera in a bodega in New York City, and it was in Chinatown, and it was only, like, I think that they probably had it there for the foliage, but it did have a node, and so I bought it, and I took that thing back with me on the train all the way from New York to Chicago. I just, like, carried it, and that was my first monstera, but yeah, those are weird times, but I did... Going back to the fiddle leaf fig, that was one of my first like troubleshooting plants because I think we all get like the fiddle leaf. That one, I think, kind of crosses every plant parent's path and like teaches us all probably pretty important lessons. And then it just quickly dies or loses all its leaves. Like your story. Like I do remember one morning walking by mine and I just like walked by it and it like dropped a leaf like right in the front of my path. It was just like, oh, you're here.
The verse.
Yeah. But it taught me how plants like to be watered. Before that plant, I didn't understand that plants like to dry out. In my mind, every day I need to give this thing some water. Like, it's sucking all this up every day, and I need to just... And overwatering or, like, root rot, couldn't understand it. You're telling me I can put a cutting of something in water, and it'll grow roots, and that's what you're told to do. But that if you give something too much water over here, it'll kill all the roots. Anyway.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But propagating was what like dug the claws of this hobby into me. Like when you propagated your first plant, like it was a feeling like no other to
like
me.
Like when you see the first root come through and you're like, oh, it's doing something. Yeah. It's like life, you know?
It's like, I feel like it would be.
It's like life.
It's like, I feel like it would be like creating fire. Like yeah. If we were able to start a fire by getting kindling and like rubbing sticks together, like that's how I felt propagating because I was like, wait a minute, out of this, like out of nothing, I have a whole nother plant. And so I really loved that about the plants. And that was probably what like really sunk my heart into it. Then we were in the consuming stage, but a lot of the consuming was because I wanted content for YouTube. I wanted content for Instagram. I wanted these plants and to learn about them. And I very much like kind of darted into like peperomia territory. I was really obsessed with peperomias because they were easy to tell when they need watered. They were very like thick leaved plants, but when they were, you know, the taco test, when they need water, it was very easy. So those ones were like, that's my plant. And then I got a big Hoya, the Carnosa. Before moving to Arizona, I participated in like a secret planta. And my person that I got wanted a Hoya obovata, so I bought one from eBay. And that was like the first Hoya that I actually bought. No, that was a lie, because my first unboxing video was a Steve's Leaves Royal Hawaiian Purple, Puba Calyx.
I was going to say, yeah.
So that was the first Hoya that I bought. But then I got this obovata because the person I had wanted it. So then I bought it, kept part of it. They got part of it. And then I planted that thing. And when I got to Arizona, that thing just popped off. Like, I can't explain it, but it didn't do a lot in Nebraska or in Illinois. We got here and I just had it like from the U-Haul out onto the floor, like right in front of this window right here, this east window. And within like 2 days, it was popping out three different like growth points.
Oh.
And I was like, dang, maybe the flat mites that were probably on it died in the U-Haul.
Yeah.
Like, they probably got too hot. Yeah, so Hoya just kind of stuck around through the ups and the downs. And eventually I feel like it was just what they just clicked for me. And there's such a variation in Hoya. And I didn't know it back then. I know more now. You know, when we started, it was still a lot of the same type of Hoya. But they all just came in different shapes and sizes. And I thought that was so cool. You know, you can get philodendrons and they all kind of, they obviously a lot of different shapes and sizes there too, but kind
of
all grow.
It's more of like for a philodendron, I feel like I always felt like it was like the leaf pattern or the shape can change. Mm-hmm. But there is something about Hoya, how like, the texture, the thinness to thickness, or like there's so many, like the way they grow, they bloom, they flower. Like, you know, I'm not trying to hype up Hoya, but you know, it is a Hoya podcast.
Yeah, hype them up. But
and
yeah.
You know, like there's just, I don't know. Once it clicked, Yeah. Like, I know it, like, yeah. Once it clicks, something clicks.
In Hoya, and I think that like they'll forever be my favorite genus of plant. But and like even seeing the little leaf grow, like with philodendron, a lot of times you when you get a new leaf, like that thing has, which is, I think this is so amazing and beautiful, but like it has like grown and created itself in a sheath of the previous leaf until it like starts emerging. But then most of the time you get like the Cinderella stuck in the slipper.
Yeah, the slipper.
Oh, that would almost stress me out so
slipper
bad.
Elbow.
Yeah, and I'm always like, I'm annoying AF. So I'm like, let me help you, because that's what Adam does. Like the locust, let me help you out of your shell and I'll rip every one of your legs off while I'm doing it. And then I'm going to cry for days. But anyway, so I just kept ripping leaves off, and Hoya, you would see the little tiny leaf there, and then it would start getting bigger and bigger. And he was like, you could watch it from like the inception, I guess, whatever, to grow. I just loved it. It's just a fun genus of plant. So pretty quickly, I think being in Arizona, being in this really dry humidity, I didn't want to do humidifiers. Like I knew that about myself, that I would not keep up with that. And if I tried to force myself to do that, if I had a collection that needed that, that I wouldn't, like, it would just be too much for me.
Mm, it'd take the joy out of it.
Yeah. Cause I tried humidifiers in Illinois. I tried it when I first moved here and I was just like, oh no, this is not my journey. But I did focus on getting some things that made my life easier with my plant care, because at that point I was kind of moving more towards like passive hydro, and the whole pH balancing nutrient solution was very important to me to do it correctly. Like if I'm going to do this, I want to do it right. And so one thing that helped me with that was just getting a water service. I live in a city that has it. And so that's a privilege that I had. And that has helped me a ton. But I just knew humidifiers were not going to be my thing. So once all the leafy plants started dying and the Hoyas stayed around, I started just replacing them with more Hoya. And then my friend Lydia and Jesse created a plant shop. And then you guys started selling Hoya a lot. And then I started buying more from you guys and then trading. So,
but also though, I remember when like the humidifier, it wasn't just a like, oh, maybe I'll do this. Like there was a point in the plant community where it was like, you must use a humidifier, and it would be like, this is the humidifier I use, this is what, you know, I do. And it was all about like pebble trays and humid, like you had to do it. It used to be an integral part of
pebble trays.
Being in the plant community was you had to have humidity.
We're all just misting the shit out of our plants every morning. Yeah.
Every morning.
Molding our houses.
My first mister was like one of those like really cutesy glass ones that just has like a hole for your finger to go through, and it was like a push button.
Yes.
And I remember, could never. I was walking around my house, be like, I had to fill it up every like 10 pumps.
Same.
My finger was like losing blood.
But then it was so cute because then you'd like set it on your table.
Self-care.
And it would be like such a little vibe, you know? Self-care as you go around, you're like, yeah. Oh, that's dying. That's
I think
dying.
I tried
that's
humidifiers dying. For like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, nope, not gonna happen.
Yeah,
I was so committed to humidifiers that literally I got like the wall installed ones, mm-hmm. where literally like you like drill them into the wall and then you hang them on the wall, because I also couldn't be bothered that the humidifier would take up space where a plant could go. And I had those suckers hung up on the walls in my house.
Listen, you know, this your skin probably was thriving at those moments. I don't know, I didn't know they had whole wall ones.
Yeah. And it had like this little knob that you could like turn wherever
like
you wanted.
Like a little nozzle,
it.
Yeah. But they lasted a long time.
Yeah.
At least 2 days.
Do you remember like sometimes, at least 2 days, the plant influencers back in that time would like post videos of like their apartments and it was like foggy. It was so humid. And
yes,
like,
the mold.
Mold. That's all I kept thinking of.
The black mold.
But
paint over that. It's good.
Just look at a little Kale's primer.
Yep.
Paint over it. Get a little bleach. You know.
Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
Hey there, Let's Talk Hoya listeners. We're so glad that you're here joining us as we chat all about Hoya. And can you believe it? It's already been over a year since we've been doing this podcast, and it's just been filled with so many great memories. And most of those surround you, our listeners, and hearing from you all and getting to engage with you. And if you like what you're hearing, we hope you take a moment to leave us a review. Honestly, it means so much to us. They make us laugh and it brightens our day. And so we hope that you take a moment to do that. Be sure to connect with us on Instagram. You can find us at lets.talkhoya and check out our show notes. They're linked in our bio. We also have a Patreon community called Peduncle Pals, and we hope to see you there.
Hoya were what kind of got me into Passive Hydro, because I placed that order from an undisclosed location, and I had spent more money on Hoya than I had ever, like a plant that I had ever thought I would, and it was my Hoya obovata intervariegated with Splash. She's still around, you know, years later. So I was like, good investment. But I remember I emailed or messaged Jackie in the jungle, because she lives in Arizona, and she was growing things in LECA, and her plants were freaking beautiful. Yeah. And I was like, I ordered these plants. I probably, like, thinking back on it, I'm so embarrassed by that message, because I'm just like, you know, just something super basic.
Yeah.
You know, and here's Jackie growing these amazing Hoya, and here's some weird guy coming in being like, do you think LECA is the smart decision? Because some people say it's not good. Because at that time, people were like, this isn't a long-term solution.
There,
like,
was no information about
No, we had LECA Minimalist Cali was creating videos on Passive Hydro. But that was the only creator that was really doing it that wasn't like a gardening actual hydro channel. Mm. So
her plants are legit ginormous.
Yeah. She was like, yeah, like, it's worked for me. And I think that that was all I needed. I just needed affirmation that I wasn't making a bad decision. And then, so from that point on, I got these Hoya. I started growing them out. I started growing them in Passive Hydro and trying to figure out my methods and doing Passive Hydro. And
but what was your reason for leaving Passive Hydro or LECA?
I don't know. Okay, so when we were full on in LECA mode, I was a pawn hater, because everyone's like, Pawn is coming out. Like, it was all we had at that time, those Lechuza Pawn, though. And I did not like Lechuza Pawn. It felt so small.
But remember, we were like, these damn rocks.
Yeah. And Lechuza was so freaking expensive. There was no way I could justify it. But LECA, Hydroton, like, and I was very particular about the LECA at that point. It was either the LECA Udla from IKEA or Hydroton, but like, none of the popcorn turd looking stuff was ever going to be in my house, which now I'm like, well, maybe that would have been better, because the jagged edges, like, you know, you think about engineering and trains are built on these rocks, like these pounds, because that kind of creates the ability for the trains not to like erode. And like, it, I mean, it's,
I did not know that.
If you look into like why there's basalt rock on train tracks, it is amazing.
I thought it was because they didn't figure out pavers yet.
No, it absorbs the motion, so you don't have like the unevenness. Anyway, so then maybe the uneven LECA would have helped keep things more sturdy, because what my issue probably was, would have
filled in the gaps and stuff.
Yeah, and they kind of interlock a little bit more. My issue with the LECA was that like some of our plants, especially like the trailing Hoya, like some of them would just like pull during, like, you take it off the shelf, it would just pull itself out. You're doing any center of care, it just was not very sturdy.
Like, it would be sitting on a shelf and you could just see more and more of the stem coming out, and then like you start seeing like roots.
Yeah. And so I started switching to Pawn. I don't know when. Was it from you?
I feel like it was probably in like 2021.
No, my friend Steve. Yeah, I've killed that Steve brought me a bag of lechuza, and that was the first pawn I ever tried. He bought some, and he was like, I'm never going to use this crap.
Really?
Because you know his attitude. He was like, I'm not using these stupid rocks. So he brought it to Arizona in 2020, in the end of 2020. So that's when I first started it. But then I still was kind of just like, eh, until like, I think your recipe for pawn, or maybe I got some from you. I had to have, because it was just lechuza, and then...
I think I brought you some at one point.
The recipe.
Because maybe we were talking about like how lechuza was really small, and I never recognized that until I bought a plant from someone where it was in lechuza, and if you use lechuza, that's great. But the pieces are very tiny, and you can't put them in like a net pot or anything because they just fall out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the annoying part, is a net pot. Because lechuza pots... was not spending the money on those.
They were expensive.
Oh my gosh. Still are, I'm sure. But then, Lydia, your pawn recipe is like my all-time favorite. Like, I don't know. I mean, the size of the rock, all of it. So that's what I've been using ever since with my passive hydro. But it wasn't like, I don't remember being like, ooh, I don't like Leca. I think we just kind of fell out of love with each other slowly. Like, got annoyed about them being all over the floor. Stepped on a few. Hated it. I think we just started to hate each other.
Things to step on in this order. Lego, Leca, pawn. Which is worse?
You know, Leca and Legos are a different kind of pain, though.
That's what I'm saying. Which one's worse?
Leca's more like a deep pressure massage. Yeah, I feel like, and a Lego is more like pointed. Sharp angle. Yeah.
So which one is worse?
I say Lego. I would say.
Yeah.
Lego, same. Leca, pawn.
Yeah, that's okay. My order.
Same.
But yeah. And then like Hoyas just started growing really well for me. And everyone always... came up and was like, or would comment on my videos or photos like, what are you doing? And I honestly didn't feel like I was doing anything special, but I guess when I look back on it, I do very much want to do things correctly. So like from the jump, I was like, I have to pH balance, because I saw the chart that said, you know, these macro and micronutrients will only be absorbed if it's between these pH balances. And then I immediately was like, well, I need to make sure that that is the thing I focus on, is the pH balancing. So I give these plants the best chance. And that is, I guess, my secret is plant science, which, I mean, is readily available out there for people. And I know that some people just want to do an easy thing, and I get that too. But it is important to pH balance. So do that. But yeah, that's... I still have things in Leca to this day, like the original Obovadas, and she's still in Leca.
We've talked about this before, but there is something about Leca. I would have a lot of root rot in Leca, where like all of the roots would die though.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what episode we were talking about this, but we had talked about this before. But once you have a plant that's fully established in Leca, it does great.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I literally have a silver dollar that's in Leca that was yours that has probably been in there for the last like 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's not going to go anywhere. Like, it's going to stay there.
Is she still growing and beautiful?
Yeah. Mm. I'll have to send you a photo. It literally has gone up this whole trellis. I have plants hanging in this window, and it has wrapped around the plant hanger and is now going to the other one and trying to find its way all the way over.
I love that. Do you have Lacanosa SR 2010-55?
Yes. You asked me that last time.
I know. But now mine actually died. I have zero.
Sad. I'll bring you some.
Say that again three times really fast. The name.
Hoya Lacanosa SR 2010-55.
Sorry, it was just funny how you said it all.
But yeah. Where were we at?
Like upon ADHD. Your transition in life.
In life. So pawn is just, it works for me and I really like it. And so I think I'll forever grow in it. But now I'm tossing some things into soil. We're trying new things.
I just moved like a dozen plants into soil this weekend.
Did you? I'm just anxious about root mealies. That's my only thing. Like, because I...
How do you treat it?
Yeah, so I want to make sure things are cleared up before. So the ones that I'm putting in soil, I'm like keeping away.
Mm.
But yeah.
See, the thing that I always hated about soil was the fact that you can't see what's going on, because I would never put them in clear pots. I would just put them into a pot that has a hole in it. But I put all of my plants into a clear pot and then put them into a pot. So then if something happens, like, I can see it, you know, instead of just trying to guess and see what's happening. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Cause like it just, I like to see the roots anyway. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know where my journey is going now. I think that my collection, like, I look back at videos and sometimes I'm like, holy shit. Like, I.
At your peak.
Yeah. I remember, like, I remember how you guys would come in and you'd be like, or I'd post videos online, people would be like, holy crap. But I didn't ever see it like that, because I think that I was just living in it, and I dealt with those shelves every week. But I look back at some reels that I filmed like last year and I'll be like, oh my God, is he okay? Because like the shelves were full.
Yeah.
And then those plants were also full, but then, you know, mites take over and all of that stuff. But I think right now I'm reaching like a healthy relationship with plants. And yeah, I don't know what else. Well, oh, huge. I did join the shop with Lydia for a year growing Hoya. And that was an experience to figure out like how we can prop a lot, which was also my favorite thing to do. When we did the shop together, I always told Lydia that, like, she was like, this is my least favorite part of all of this. And I was like, it is my favorite part. It was like the best of both. Because like I didn't mind like sticking things in prop boxes and having them until I did, you know?
Yeah.
I guess it's fun until it's not.
Yeah.
You
know what some of my favorite things are from that time was all the reels that we made.
Yeah.
Because those are like, because I feel like all moments in your life are kind of blurry. Like you never fully remember them. That's just how our brains work. But it's like something about when you make a video or something, that moment is like memorialized forever. And I love going back and being able to like look on the feed and see like those moments that we had. And those are some of like just my favorite moments.
Every time I go to the post office, hilarious. I just remember when we did that reel.
Yeah, and then we opened the door and they slammed together and we're like, oh shit, it breaks.
But yeah. And see, when my mom meets you guys, that's the first thing she's probably going to say is that skipping video. She is like, do you remember?
She's going to ask us to recreate it live. Yeah.
She's going to be like, hey.
Did you ever learn how to skip?
I do know how to skip. No. It just looks different when you're my size. It's because I'm closer to the ground. It's more of a, you know, graceful leap.
No. Graceful.
Wouldn't that be a graceful leap?
You just look like a skedaddler. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, I mean, ups and downs with plants. There's been moments where I'm just like, I don't want these anymore.
Ebb and flow.
Yeah. But even though I might feel that way, I just don't think that that's ever going to be a thing.
Yeah.
You know? And so we're finding our love again, and I'm being choosy about what Hoya I want to keep. And even like now I'm like, oh, there's some I wish I had. So like, I might just be like, hey Lydia, go through your collection and, or send me a list. And
let's just come over.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be fun. We won't come to your house. That's okay. But I'm just kidding.
She got a silver sword. I can take cutting of that.
Okay, but Clutch, I give Jesse such a hard time, but I have gotten some wonderful plants from Jesse recently, and I am in love with them. So
you're not getting silver sword. Even if you talk it up. I mean, bestie. Isn't it gorgeous?
It is pretty, yeah.
Yeah, it is very pretty. But anyway, I feel like that would be fun. We should do that one day.
Yeah. When I got back into the Hoya, or when we were in our height of our Hoya, and probably like mentally unhealthy times for all of us. Like, I think that's not, no question there. Like, I was still like in that consumerism thing. Like, I needed to get every single one, you know? And I very quickly realized I can't be that person, because it was just very stressful. And so now I want to pick the ones that like mean something to me, and also put them in my home, like where it's not just like this is the plant room, but it's like, this is my room. And oh, wow, you have a lot of plants in here, but it's not like, you know.
Yeah.
And I love that journey that we're, you know, that we're on with them. But Hoya will always have my heart, I think. But yeah, flat mites. That's been a tough.
Grr.
Yeah. I just remember, like, you know, I remember I used to do my Macro Mondays on Instagram. I say that like I was like, it was like a thing.
It was a thing for me.
Yeah.
And then I was like going through, and that's when I started seeing these like little red specks on my Hoya. And I was like, what is this? And then I got a microscope. And I'm not saying I'm the first person to blow the whistle on flat mites, because I'm not. Like, the orchid people have been talking about flat mites, but they called them something else for the longest time. But
it's like, we never associated it because we're just hobbyists. Yeah. So it's like, well, unless you know what it is, it's like hard to associate things. Yeah.
Unless you're specifically taking a Hoya and putting them under a microscope, you're not going to see it. Like, cause you can't see them with the naked eye.
No. And I was using a flashlight at that time and like a magnifying glass. I remember like texting Lydia constantly with like every single pipe. Like, do you think this is a scale? Do you think this is a... Like, I was just on edge with these damn things because I couldn't find information about them.
But it just felt like one of those moments, like you're like in a murder mystery.
Yeah.
And you're like trying to find out what it is, and then you find it, and it was just like this, this aha moment.
Yeah.
But you know what is crazy to me, though, is that we constantly talk about microscoping and we constantly talk about flat mites. And I feel like if you're really deep into the Hoya hobby, like you just have to get a mic. There's like no... way around it. It doesn't, like, you just have to have one. And I feel like there's so, like, literally I was just talking to somebody this week and they were like my Hoya aren't growing, I don't understand. And then it's this, yeah. And then they were like, I have vines that are empty, all the new leaves keep on dropping and going away, like they look fine, I water them, I do everything I'm supposed to do. And I just said, do you have a microscope, have you looked at it under a microscope? And they're like, no. And I'm just like, you just have to do it.
Yeah, you do.
Like, it feels like a lot, but you just have, because it is so prevalent. You know what I mean?
I don't think people are aware that pests can be that small, because like if you garden, you're going to see the little green aphids.
Yeah.
You're going to see caterpillars.
You see mealybugs are easy.
Yeah. You like even spider mites are going to see the little web. It's almost like if it's someone's day one in plants and you're like root rot. You're like, you don't fathom that exists. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But it makes me sad, though, because I was even telling this person, I was like, this is what you need to do. And I was like, you have to get a scope, because if you don't and you continue getting plants, you're going to get it again. Because that's how it happens. You can rid your entire collection of it, and it takes one little tiny cutting to come back into your collection, and boom, it's like fire, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
But it makes me sad, because there are people who have gotten out of the Hoya hobby and collecting because of that time period where everybody literally, I'm pretty sure, had flat mites. But Char was over at my place picking up Hoya,
mm-hmm.
because she was like, I want to get into Hoya again.
I saw her on Facebook and I saw a post and she was like, I was like, that's Lydia's hand.
The whole platy. She DMs me. She's like, I want the whole thing.
Yeah,
and okay. I was like, okay, cool. And then she was like, we did a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I want to get more Hoya. So I just cut up a bunch of stuff and I put it in a box and I gave it to her.
Nice.
But she comes over and she was like, I want to get back into Hoya again. I was like, well, when was the last time you were collecting? She was like, 3 years ago. And I was like, that was the height of like the worst time to collect. She was like, it was so frustrating because like they would be rooted and like nothing was wrong with them. And I was doing everything, but they wouldn't grow and the vines would come in, they would die and this and that. And I was like, you had flat mites.
Yes, and
100%.
So many of like the online Hoya sellers, like the big names and the groups, were like giving people plants with flat mites, and you would tell them and they would be like, well, it's hard to keep everything clean. It's like, okay.
Yeah. And I was telling her, I was like, these plants are clean. And she was like, I still have like 10, 15 Hoya left. And I was like, you want to keep them separated? And I was like, this is what you do with the ones that you have, so that you don't get it again, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that I've also come on a journey with the flat mite. I don't love that they're around, but I think that it's impossible for me to think that I'm just never going to have them. Now I need to do common sense care to keep them at a manageable thing. And like when my plants were so huge and these shells were full of foliage, that was very difficult to treat. Mm-hmm. And I'm not wanting to like spray a lot of sulfur. I don't like, it's just my own decision. I'm not saying that that's everyone's thing. But I know that I'm not going to do it right with the protection that you should be using because I'm lazy AF. And so like, I'd rather just like not introduce something. And then, and it's like, I don't even care about myself, but I just care about my pets, which is so almost like, I just don't want my tire patches to like get sick from it.
Remember that one time before we started selling together, we're like, okay, this is it. We're going to rid everything mm-hmm. and we're going to spray all of your plants down with sulfur.
Right in this alley back here.
And I came over and I had those like the cow insemination gloves basically. Yeah, and he was like, just like, what the hell is that? And I was like, it's not supposed to get on your skin. You're supposed to cover it. I was putting them on my legs and everything. And yeah. You were just like, what? And I'm like, yeah.
I literally went to the airport with my hands smelling like sulfur because I sprayed them down before I went on a trip.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to get like taken off the plane for smelling like sulfur.
Yeah. I remember one time coming over to Jessie's place and she was spraying Captain Jack's in her office. And I was like, what are you doing? She's like, spraying my plants. And I was like, Jessie,
look at me. We're both still here.
Give me. I did that too. And like, you think like, okay, your skin is absorbs things. It's your biggest organ. And then you're spraying, like, I don't know. I get really anxious about that now. Not that I'm turning into some crunchy granola, but like, I don't know.
There's a balance. Yeah.
But when I live longer than you guys, I'd be like, it was probably the bleach. Miss Girl over here gets sick like 10 times more often than I do.
It was probably the bleach.
It's probably the bleach.
Yeah. But
I do remember one time like coming over and you were just like, I'm either going to finish with flat mites or I'm going to finish with Hoya.
Yeah.
You were like really like dejected almost. Yeah. And I was just like, I wonder if this is it.
This is the end of it. Yeah. But I think we're in a healthy relationship now with it all. Like a healthy balance of like, yeah, there's probably going to be pests. And it does suck because I do want to like share my plants with people, but I'm always like, yeah, this probably has flat mind, but like I'm doing what I can.
It's like one thing, like you can share it with people and like tell them. And if you feel confident enough that they know what to do to take care of it, so it doesn't spread to their collection, then that's great. But I feel like if you don't know, like I could get a plant from you and it would be fine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that like I know how to do everything. I'm just saying like I've just found through experience, like, you know, I'm going to take the 10 extra steps because I know if I get it on one, then it's like,
do a little extra work at the beginning.
Yeah.
But
then you don't want to like do that to people where maybe you would think that they wouldn't, and then it affects their whole collection. Like, yeah. I know how that is. Like, I know where you're coming from.
Yeah. So I don't know. I did cut back a lot, but a lot of that was just to manage the pests. And then once I can do that a little bit, once I got that under control, I do plan on like making bigger Hoya with like the ones that I really enjoy.
So one of our listeners of the podcast did a plant trade with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you know, I've been hearing that you've been wanting Hoya with green blooms.
Ooh.
So I got a Hoya Chloraleuca.
You did?
And it's the Hoya Chloraleuca var Chloraleuca. And then there's the Hoya Chlorantha.
Chlorantha, yeah. You got both of them?
Both of them. They're just little.
Okay. Everybody send good vibes.
Plants, so I can get a cut. But literally I was like, I hope they'll bloom for me one day. And then she was like, I believe it will for you or Adam.
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh. I cannot wait.
I have not gotten a new Hoya in a long time. And like, I haven't really been asking for trades or anything like that because I've just been like getting settled. But when she was like, do you want to maybe do a trade? Like, it was exciting. Like, I was excited about it. Yeah. So, mm-hmm.
Well, you posted on your Instagram stories about your like Medusa on a shelf in its little pot and something else. And I just like, I got the ting from that post because like the Medusa is such a cute plant.
It really is.
I love how that thing grows. And I think about whenever I see that, I just think about my bedroom plants and like my Linearis is blooming. So here's your encouragement to try again. Like Linearis, loved it, was the first toy I had. Flat mites destroyed it. It sucked, never grew for me, never bloomed. And now I have one that is like growing.
Same though.
Beautifully. And I have at least like, I would say up to 5 blooms open on it currently.
Wow.
Okay, literally someone sent me a follow-up of their Medusa that they like just got sometime this year from me. And it was just like four, it was like these, the first 4 leaves. And look at it.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Let me see.
I just love the Medusa.
Remember last week I was talking about, wow, she's also the one that has the Coriaceae silver that's like gorgeous, big, beautiful. Oh, like, yeah. But she always sends me updates. I love it.
But yeah, we've been on a journey. Oh, dang, that is a beautiful Coriaceae.
Isn't it?
Is that yours?
No. Oh, she was like, literally got that a 2-leaf cutting last year.
Yeah.
Wow. Could never be me.
But yeah, I think with anything, plants have taught a ton of lessons, a ton of patience, perseverance, just like all the things. And I'm glad that I have this hobby because it also has brought like all of these beautiful people into my life. You guys, I would have never, like, I don't imagine a world where we would have run into each other if plants weren't involved.
No,
maybe because in your naughty phase or something, you know, not K-N-O-T.
Oh, I was like, excuse me. No,
wrong team.
Wrong gender.
I don't think you're on my
if you're like Twitter. At a craft fair, like, you know.
No, but honestly, and I think about those things and it makes me so happy to like have plants.
That's freaky. What if we never met? What would seriously, our lives be?
Isn't it like, I don't like to think about that, but when you let your mind go down that path, it's just like,
it's very easy.
How
too.
Changed, because you both have been pivotal in my growing. And I think vice versa, like when you find your little crew, you kind of like figure your shit out.
Yeah. Or at least like,
or help each other
people
figure your shit.
As
yeah.
you're figuring your stuff out.
You have your community while like they're with you when messy and good. So like we wouldn't have had that without plants. Like I would have been here in Arizona.
I would have been in Phoenix.
And like I would just have never have like crossed paths. I would never know the joys of like just learning cultures and like pusha pusha. Like I wouldn't know any of it. So I don't know. It's all grateful. And like also the all of the people we've met along the way too.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. So
I have a question for you. Yeah. If there is one word or phrase that describes your plant journey up until now or how you currently feel about plants, what would it be?
Ooh. I feel like I'm in the one word
or phrase.
Rekindling. That's a good word for it.
What does that mean to you?
It's looking at your journey. Like I'm looking at my journey with the plants and I'm deciding what I want to carry forward. Like what parts of them. So I'm rekindling because I'm finding the things that I love most about the hobby. And that's what I'm going to focus on, like nurturing. I think that's my goal. And I think, I don't know, it feels good. It feels good to like let go of some of the things and not have to have all these huge plants everywhere. Because I can take care of these plants in a day. Like, and that feels nice. Like, oh, I just took care of all the plants. Like I said that to Steve the other day. I was like, I just took care of all my plants. And like before it was like a section a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, I don't know. That's my ramblings. Was there anything I missed that we should?
There's nothing like concrete though. Okay. It really is just what you feel like sharing, you know, in your journey and.
Yeah.
And who Adam is.
Mm-hmm. Who Adam is. Adam is messy, but beautiful. You know, I think we all are. It snaps. Opalite.
All right, are we closing out this episode with a no, we can't do that trademark. Oh,
we can sing it. Dancing through the lightning strike. No. But yeah.
Now streaming on Spotify. Thank you for sharing, though. And I think it's very beautiful, the point that you've come to on your journey and where you are. And not just with like plants, but just like with who you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's like wild because I feel like a lot of that like shows in our plants in some way, you know?
Yeah.
And it's very, I feel very like, what's the word? Like connecting that together. Like it makes me feel I'm, I don't know, I don't know the word.
Connected. Symbiotic.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, something like that. Something to that effect.
You know, when I cut the Hoya down though, like I didn't realize that I think a lot of my identity was wrapped up in like, oh, he can grow Hoya well. Because when I looked at these shelves and I looked how empty they were, and like you guys, when you came in and I was doing all of those like major cutbacks, I'm sure it was like, oh, it's different.
Mm-hmm. We did say that a couple of times. Yeah. Like, whoa. Changing, cleaning. Yeah, never in a bad way.
Just but change. Like mentally, when you're like, for me, it was like, it was weirdly kind of like, well, who am I if I don't have Hoya, you know, for a second? And then I'm like, wait a minute. You're a lot of things. So
yeah,
mostly an asshole.
Not going to say no. An asshole I love.
Okay, but the question, my advice, that's what I wanted to say. My advice for anyone starting.
Oh, leaving the knowledge.
Yeah, is like, don't get wrapped up in the hubbub. Don't let other people's passions or strive for like the newest and greatest and latest impact you. Like I was so easily like, oh, I have to get this. And I lost myself in that of trying to like have this status of sorts. And it seems so gross to say it, but I do feel like that's what at its core, what it was. It was like, if I have this plant, then that's a status. It's a symbol of my status. And like, I have this rare plant that I can grow. And that's, I look back and I'm like, it's icky, but I can so easily fall into that. And anyone I feel like can. I really can still, like, I'm not impervious to it. And it's not something that I will never struggle with again. But that would be my advice, is like, just find those ones that you like. And even if you still want to consume and buy a bunch of stuff because you like a bunch of stuff, that's fine. But don't do it for the reasons of like, I want to show off.
Do it for your own joy.
Yeah.
Do the hobby for your own joy. I think that's important.
Because I think the repercussions that come from like failing at that piece of it, like inevitably that stuff will not go well because you have too much of it. The feelings that come with that part of it, I think are more detrimental to someone's like mental health than just like the consumerism side of it, because you're sitting there being like, I can't do this. Like all of those statements are like, I'm a bad plant parent. I'm this, like those are very I statements. Like this is all my problem, but it's like, well, no, it's not all your problem, because the world told you needed to buy all these plants and like you were just doing what you thought you needed to do. Mm-hmm. So just don't do that. So thank you. We need that on
I'm sorry.
We need that on a button.
It needs to be Jesse's face going across the screen going, don't do it.
But there's just so, I mean, I just sit here and think like, I wasn't very prepared to like talk today, but like there's so many lessons that we have just in plants. Like you had so many lessons in your story. You're going to have so many lessons in your story. Like lessons that we just don't even think about that have taught us things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're literally just plants sitting here. And yet, doing so much.
Yeah.
On top of growing.
Doing the most.
But I feel like the wild thing is like, for me, not that this is, you know, my episode, but like, for me, it's wild because when I was going through up until now, like some of my most pivotal moments in my life, like the plants have always been there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what'll stick with me going forward, is that like, these were here for me regardless of what state I was in. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
A beautiful
thing. And I love that we have nature in our house, you know, in our homes.
100%.
Anywho, well, thanks for listening. Don't forget to follow us over on Instagram at let's.talkhoya. And you can also follow all of your beautiful hosts individually. I am at NotDude.
I'm at thegreenplant.az.
And I'm at Perritos y Plants. Adios.
Adios.
Bye.
Picture this, you're scrolling through your feed and suddenly, bam, you land on an incredible live stream and someone's sharing secrets about nurturing that stunning plant you've been eyeing. You're instantly hooked, asking questions, laughing, and joining vibrant conversations with passionate plant lovers from all over the world.
These live streams aren't just about selling plants. They're hangouts, educational classes, and exciting community events. And while you're waiting for your next favorite seller or educator to go live, join chat channels similar to Discord, where the fun never stops and plant friendships flourish.
Feeling inspired, you decide it's time to buy your dream plant. Here's the best part. It's not just a transaction. You're connecting directly with amazing sellers and becoming part of a genuinely engaged community. Need any tips? Have any questions? Want to celebrate your plant's first ever bloom? Overgrown Oasis community is always eager to support, guide, and cheer you on.
Overgrown Oasis is more than just a platform. It's your new plant-loving adventure and community home. So dive into the excitement, connect deeply, and watch your plant dreams bloom alongside friends. You can find Overgrown Oasis by visiting overgrownoasis.com.
Your ultimate plant-loving community awaits.